Welcome to The Deep End. I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. And on this show, every week, we take a dive into the deep end and talk about the issues that are in the minds of people here in our community, here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. Now, as you're listening to this show today, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people going to Washington, D.C. and protesting. They are largely women who have, many of whom, who'd thought at one point in their lives that the struggles for their rights had been won. I mean, it's only been a little over, it's only been about 100 years, just a little less than 100 years, that women have had the opportunity to vote in elections across the country. And since that time, their impact on American politics has been enormous. And while the struggle has been slow and not every battle was won in its first, not every war was won in its first battle, there's been significant progress for women in America since the 19-teens and the franchise was finally extended to women. And as recently, in terms of my own lifespan, we've seen women finally have the constitutional right recognized to be able to make decisions about their own bodies and their own ability to have children and answer questions about their own reproductive health. Today, in our national dialogue, concerns about pay equity are still at the front of the minds of many women and policymakers. But largely, those women who are on the mall today protesting this the changes that have occurred in America, to me, seem that they're protesting a reversal in a lot of the success that they have achieved over the last several generations. And there's a concern that a lot of what they've been fighting for, from women's reproductive health, pay equity, the ability to make decisions about raising their families, having economic opportunities, particularly in single-family households that are led by women with children who have needs, a lot of that is now at risk, at least in the minds of many women across the United States. And a lot of it comes down to a political transition that the people of the United States have undertaken. Because also at this moment, we have a new president. The 45th president of the United States has been inaugurated, and his name is Donald J. Trump. This all comes after one of the end of one of the most harrowing years, I think, in U.S. Political history. And as I said, these fights that we thought we had won or at least achieved some detente on are now all at risk. As I've mentioned, women's reproductive health, access to abortion rights, but even beyond women's rights, just even the question of establishing our country as a state that's a welcoming country, one that that can be a sanctuary for people who are escaping violence and oppression in their homeland. Even those kinds of questions are now back on the table. And here locally, the political transition causes us to wonder whether we're going to have the capacity as Chapel Hill, Orange County, Carrboro to be a welcoming community to others who are escaping violence and oppression. Are we going to reflect an isolationist viewpoint that seems to have dominated American politics over the last year? And then are we ultimately going to be successful at achieving a vision where we understand a special place for our community within the triangle, within the state, and within this country? And these are all complicated questions that have kind of been thrust upon us over the last year or so. And here to help me work out some of these details is my good friend and your Orange County Commissioner, Penny Rich. Penny, thanks so much for being here and taking on these really difficult issues with me.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate the invite. And I agree with you. We fought for these rights already. I thought I was done fighting for these rights. I did it when I was a teenager in the 1970s, that is. Yeah. We had follow-up in the 80s when women started entering the workforce in droves and looking for compensation for that.
And that economic power that women were able to achieve in the 80s was because of the victories you won in the 70s,
That's
right.
And I was just, I want to say I was in my late teens, just getting out of high school and thinking about going to college. And I already marched on Washington. And here we are doing it again, as well as 340 other marches around the country. We have sisters from across America, from East Coast to West Coast, that are marching today, and it's just a wonderful thing.
So, Penny, how are you going to mark this transition, either personally or in your role as commissioner? This President Trump and these questions about access to. And being able to just exercise our own political rights.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark, because we started talking about this as a commission, commissioners, a couple of months ago. Like, what happens to some of the things that we've put in place? And the challenge for us was because we were dealing with the General Assembly in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a petri dish for what's going to happen in America now, because they were able to put the brakes on so many of our good programs. They were able to go ahead and try and close down clinics that women really need for comprehensive health care. They were able to go so far that we have already been challenged as a Board of County Commissioners to deal with this. So we've had some practice, unfortunately, and we're going to continue fighting. There's no question about it. We have a very good board now. Not that we didn't have ever had a good board, but we have a good board of very progressively minded people who really care about the residents of Orange County. And for me, it's very specific to women.
Yeah. And, I think a lot of folks think that because we had a change in the governor's mansion, that perhaps here in North Carolina will be spared from some of that. Does that bring you any solace?
We're not really feeling that right now. We're hoping that people will wake up to this. And I actually do think when the Trump administration comes in, and that's a hard thing for me to say, but yeah. I just said it. I think people are going to be have a rude awakening of what was said along the campaign trail and what actually is going to happen. We're seeing some statistics just coming out of the first polling in North Carolina where 55% of the people are happy with the Affordable Health Care Act. When that gets taken away, what happens, especially with women and their right to birth control? If you don't want to have clinics where women can get comprehensive health care, then you have to have birth control available. You can't have it both ways. And again, these are things that we fought for so many years. We've achieved them, and now we're going to see them taken away.
Well, after we take a break, let's come back and talk about some of those changes that are going to be happening in Washington and some of the remaining obstacles that are here that we're going to be facing here in North Carolina, because while the governor's mansion may have changed hands, the General Assembly sure hasn't.
That's right.
So we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt. You're listening to 97.9 FM WCHL, also on 1360 AM WCHL. We're here in the studios at located at University Place here in Chapel Hill. And my guest today is Penny Rich. And we're talking about some of the changes in the political environment and how they're going to affect us here in Orange County. A lot of folks think, Penny, that the president is some kind of imperial leader who has all power over everything. But as we know, there are the executive branch of the U.S. government is full of thousands of people who actually do the work. And some of these folks that the president appoints are going to be people who we're going to have to deal with. And I know as a county commissioner and as a local elected official who is charged with helping provide social services here in our community, I imagine that's going to be a difficult. I mean, for example, I know one of the things that you championed over the last year was making sure that a housing bond, affordable housing bond, was on the ballot, and it was, and it won. So it's $5 million for affordable housing moving into the future for Orange County. Seems like a drop in the bucket to me, but at least it's a start at filling the bucket. But here we are now facing a federal administration, a Trump administration, with Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson. I mean, I don't know, response? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that, it's real problematic for me. And I'm glad you raised this question because we are we're getting back to work on the 24th. And one of the things that we're going to start talking about is how to use that $5 million. The county owns a lot of little plots of land all over. And we're going to start thinking about how we can use those plots of land and take some of that $5 million. Again, a drop in the bucket. And, you know, that'll be used up pretty quickly before we even get to the large projects. But you know, as mayor, we started losing federal dollars for housing, Section 8 housing, you know, other affordable housing a long time ago. And that's only going to get worse under Mr. Carson. I don't think he understands the need of affordable housing. He would never have been my choice for a person to run housing. He's a brain surgeon. I mean, what does that even mean? To put someone like that in charge of housing. Just frightening. So we're going to come up against a lot of challenges. And if we don't do it locally, how is it going to happen? And I think another good question that you raised also, you know, everyone thinks that the president is the do-all and say-all. Well, really, local government is what we need to focus on right now. And the way that we can build up to making sure that we elect the right people into office is starting locally. People that are champions for affordable housing and other social justice issues, which we know Orange County is really known for. Sometimes we're people make fun of us and call us living in our little bubble, which we all like to live in our bubble. But now we realize that we need to get out of that bubble and look at the big picture.
I mean, Chapel Hill, Orange County, Carrboro, I mean, it really kind of falls upon our shoulders and like-minded communities around North Carolina to keep any kind of movement forward, I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, like, for example, here in Orange County, we're well known for our support for environmental issues and conservation, environmental protection. Now, here we have an EPA that's going to be led by someone who doesn't believe in climate change. And oddly, there are a lot of folks here in our community who work at the EPA because they have a major facility here in the Triangle. And how can a local government respond to these kinds of issues? I mean, I suppose we can pass resolutions.
Right.
But are we going to need to invest more in order to ensure our future? And is it something we should do because the burden of the state's future is kind of put on our shoulders?
Yeah, and I think that comes at a great cost. And I don't know that we can afford that, quite frankly. You know, it's almost like you read our next agenda and our retreat policies. I know you're shaking your head. No, but so our theme for our retreat this year is sustainability, and not only environmentally, but financial sustainability. There's a lot of things that we need to belly up some big money for, and how do we sustain that as a community? Half of our budget in the county goes to the schools. I just came from a school collaboration meeting, and we find out that the state is just really trying to sink counties when it comes to schools, making us more and more responsible for funding. And, you know, they're just clearly there's a shift, and it's been happening for a couple of years. You know, another way to put the burden on the counties and then say, oh, well, you failed. We're taking over the schools. It's a big nut to crack. And I really don't know that communities across North Carolina are going to be able to handle what the state is imposing on us. Then you add what the feds want to impose on us. It's going to be difficult. And we really do have to brainstorm this budget season and see how we can make sure that we are trying to be sustainable and not price people out of the market for living here.
Well, you know, one of the thoughts that I have listening to you talk about that and something that I've been kind of evangelizing over the last year or so is trying to find ways to create some cross-jurisdictional partnerships. You know, when I was mayor and while you're on the council and then making your transition to the commission, we worked here in Orange County with Durham County to develop the light rail plan, for example. It really it took not just county government in Orange and county government in Durham, but it also took the cities, you know, the city of Durham, Chapel Hill, to kind of come together to come up with a solution to address what was and what will ultimately be a very a relatively expensive transportation project, but is a sign that if we work together, perhaps you know, we could pull that cart forward further than we could on our own. I mean, from what you're saying, does this mean that we need to be working perhaps more closely with our neighboring communities?
I agree. I think we do. I think regional collaboration is in our future for many things, not only transportation, but you know, we talk about solid waste. Not everybody likes to talk about solid waste, and I always bring that up that topic up at the dinner table because I think it's important for everyone to understand solid waste at dinner. But you know, that is one of those key elements that we need to be introducing as a coordination regionally. Water is one of them also. We can't just be on our own in these big picture items. And I agree with you. I think that collaborating with Durham and we're collaborating with Wake, I'd like to see Alamance join the picture also. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're coming around because of the growth that they've had. They are understanding some of the you know, things that we've already figured out. They're trying to pick our brains and trying to move into that direction. I also think economic development needs to be regional. We need to all be working together to make sure that we're bringing those sales dollars here, too, to make sure that we can sustain overall. And again, that goes back to that sustainability picture and how do we keep, you know, a bright future for all the people that live here.
Well, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about whether or not you believe we actually have it in us as individuals, as voters, as your constituents, to be able to actually see that big picture. I have some questions about that. Let's go. Administration, a Republican-dominated Washington, D.C. Even while we have a new governor, we still have the same old General Assembly. And here in Orange County, it's really going to be up to us, I think, to decide whether we're going to be part of a larger solution or we're going to retreat into ourselves. You know, Penny, one of the concerns I have is that this national movement to elect someone like Donald Trump and many of the members of Congress who've been elected from all over the country reflects almost an isolationist spirit. You hear it in Trump rhetoric around, and he battles against his own party on this issue, but calling for tariffs and stricter trade agreements, renegotiation of treaties, and even putting our international alliances at risk. Because if we're not getting what we want, then perhaps we won't be, I don't know, protecting the Balkans from an invasion from his best friend Vladimir. I think a lot of us think that all that exists outside of our community. But part of me is wondering, does some of that exist here? And is that going to get in your way and the way of the commissioners as you look for larger regional solutions to problems?
Yeah, and I think that's it certainly complicates it when you have it on a national level and you see that it was successful. Yeah. The man clearly got elected. So that attitude was successful. I have mine. I don't care about you. I don't believe the people of Orange County believe that way. And I think you're right. We need to take the lead on this. We need to reach out. We do need to continue growing our partnerships. And not only regionally, I think what we need to do is, you know, talk to our friends in Asheville and talk to our friends at the beach and make sure that we can bring North Carolina back to that state that we thought we were heading in.
And but can you feel confident that you're going to be successful at making new partnerships when existing partnerships are already at risk and are being attacked every day, like the transit issues, for example?
Yeah, no, I can't be confident in that. And I think that it's unfortunate that the messaging that gets out to folks are not factual. In reality, they're made up sort of numbers and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. A lot of folks are busy. They don't have time to go and look at the facts and dig that up. So I can't be confident that we will be able to do that. I'm hoping, though, that our communication starts getting better. I think that as a county, for many years, we weren't communicating well. And I'm hoping now that we will be able to do that, where we can get information out to people in a timely manner before the folks that have the loudest voices get their message out, because then you're just fighting for stage time, and you know, once that happens, you're watching the fight instead of paying attention to the big picture. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that we have many challenges. Transit is just one of them. And when you think about transit, that is a mega project. We have never taken on something like that before. It's not one of these little planning projects that, you know, we send to our planning board and the community design people come back and, you know, they want they want the building to be blue instead of yellow. This is a mega project with many, many moving parts. And the feds are just one of the moving parts. The state is one of the moving parts. Our partners are moving parts. The naysayers are moving parts. So it's hard to be very confident. I, though, on the other hand, am a glass half full person, and I'm always going to be smiling and pushing to do the right thing.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, and I think because I don't believe that you or your and your colleagues are going to be free from this kind of continued, response to particularly larger regional partnerships. But Penny, thank you so much. We're out of time.
Mark. We could talk for hours.
We certainly could, and maybe we can finish our conversation later, and we'll see folks see our listeners out in the community. You've been listening to The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt. This is 97.9 FM, and we'll see you next week.